Beards and Belvederes. I'm Adam.
And I'm Paul.
And I'm Jerry.
And today, we're going to be drinking some whiskey from Rye 3. And we've got the folks from Rye 3 with us. Right now, we've got one gentleman will be joined later by another. We will not be reviewing all these products like we always do. Before we introduce our current guest, as always, I'm starting with a palate warmer. What do you guys got? Paul, you're at my top left.
Yeah, I'm starting with the little Ron Zalco 10-year rum.
Nice.
This is a really good rum. I'm sure we'll get into it a little bit later on here talking about this, but it's like cotton candy bomb for me. I love it.
Yeah, I went with the same thing. Paul sent a sample of it to us and figured I'd get into it, start out.
So I don't think I had the Ron Zalco rum unless Paul sent me a sample of it. I know they did, but I don't know if I drank it all. I have some Still Austin Cask Strength because it's delicious. This is 118 proof, and I'm really enjoying it, but I'm almost done with it. So with us today, we've got Matt from Rye 3, and I know that we've got a ton of questions and things that we want to talk about, but before we do that, just kind of fill us in on who you are and your role with the company and that kind of thing.
Yeah, guys, really, really appreciate you having me on today. My name is Matt Witzig. I'm the COO and the master blender for Phenomenal Spirits. So then under Phenomenal Spirits, you know, we have the Zalco rum and then the Rye 3 whiskey.
Very cool. And how did you land that role, the master blender and COO of that company? Tell us about that.
Man, so yeah, it goes back to, so Kartik started Phenomenal Spirits back in 2017, started it as a premium rum brand with Ron Zalco and started in France. Got a lot of traction out there and started, you know, moving into a couple other countries, to the UK, Denmark. And then, you know, something he was really passionate about, something he wanted to do was rye whiskey. So Kartik hired me on as a consultant, saying like, hey, I want to create this rye brand. Can you help me do it? So I developed a kind of a couple formulations for him, a couple different ideas, kind of playing off of the Ron Zalco side. We knew we wanted to do a rum cask finish. So started messing around with blending a couple different whiskeys together and, you know, pairing them with the Zalco rum. And kind of probably about 6 months into it, and he came down to Virginia Beach, where I live, and he's like, hey, you know, I really think we need to partner up and do this together. At the time, he kind of had everything outsourced. You know, he had a place that was blending it for him, bottling it, and, you know, we wanted to come in, do our own facility, and, you know, start up our own blending house. So he came down. We went down to the beach, had some cigars, had some oysters, and kind of started right from there. So that was early 2018. So, and then we opened up it took about 9 months to get things open up and up and running down here, which of course kind of hit right as COVID was starting to happen. So we brought Zalco into the US in, what was it, March 2020. So we shipped our first pallets into DC, where they got to sit and do nothing for about 3-4 months. But then we actually launched Rye 3 that August. So we took it here and just kind of been spreading ever since.
Awesome. How did you yourself get into the spirits industry? Because you didn't start in the industry, right?
So I started, man, it goes back. I was in buying for Costco. And there was a guy that I had brought in. He had a barbecue sauce company. And we had met, you know, formed a relationship. And he came to me one day. It was back in, I think it was 2012. And he's like, hey, we want to start a distillery. What do you think about it? And I had just gone back to school, got my civil engineering degree. And me and my wife and my family were taking a vacation after graduating school. And, you know, we were in the Smoky Mountains going to the Old Smoky Distillery. And here's this guy saying, hey, I want to start a distillery. So I kind of laughed and said, yeah, good luck with that. And he kind of kept on me for about 6 weeks. Couple months later, and decided to join in, and we started Joseph Magnus in Washington, D.C. So that was kind of my first foray into the spirits industry. But fortunately, I had some of the best, you know, consultants and people to learn from, mentors. Had Richard Wolf, who unfortunately passed away last year, but Richard Wolf was the former GM of Buffalo Trace. We had Nancy Traley, who was a phenomenal master blender, taught me blending. And then Dave Shurick, who was like a second dad to me, is the guy who built and ran Woodford Reserve for 16 years, lived on the property. So he's the one that taught me everything about distillation and all that stuff. So yeah, kind of got thrown right into it, and I actually had a little knack for it. So it's been great ever since. Definitely not one of those careers that, what do you want to do when you grow up? And that definitely wasn't on my list of things I was going to be doing.
That's awesome. We're glad you're doing it, because some of those Joseph Magnus cigar blends, and obviously now with the Rye 3 stuff that you're blending, it's been, some of my favorite bottles.
I appreciate it.
Can you talk about the actual blend, the base blends that you put in the Rye 3?
Yeah, definitely. So it's funny, when Kartik wanted to do this, he had already bought a bunch of 4-year-old Alberta rye. And he's like, hey, I don't know what we're doing, but I have a bunch of this Alberta rye. I'm like, okay, that's a good starting point. Alberta, makes some of the best rye whiskey out there. It's phenomenal. So, the next thing you got to go to, of course, is MGP's 95.5. That's kind of quintessential rye whiskey out there. Something that everybody knows, everybody loves one way or another. So I started kind of playing around with those two things, and just wasn't getting the finish I was looking for. And something that I was really familiar with using in the past, and one of my personal favorite whiskeys, is light whiskey. So for people who don't know, light whiskey, 99% corn, 1% malted barley, comes off the still over 160 proof, goes into used cooperage, and really starts to show in the later years. So the longer it ages, it just gets better and better. So we were able to get a bunch of 14-year-old light whiskey, and brings this great buttery, creamy finish to the whiskey. Probably did about 20 or 30 different formulations back and forth, me and Kartik trying them until we kind of nailed it down. So the primary part of it is going to be the 95.5, which is right now a 4-year-old 95.5, sometimes creeping up to 4.5, 5 years at times. And then the remaining 20% of it is going to be a blend of the light whiskey and the 100% Alberta rye, with the majority of it being that light whiskey. So it's really going to give it, a richness, and it definitely drinks a lot older than some of the components that are in it.
And now, is that a standard? You have your numbers and you blend every batch to that, or do you kind of tweak and taste and, go from there for your base blend together each time?
Yeah. So it's when you submit formulas, so we have to submit a formula approval to the TTB to be approved, and they give you some variance within it. So I can say like my 95.5 component can be anywhere from, 72 to 86% or something like that. So it kind of usually falls close to that 80, but yeah, every single batch, it's done to taste. So I'll blend a bunch of the barrels together, and, if it's not tasting right or it needs a little bit more of another component, I've got leeway to make some of the adjustments as needed.
So since I'm just finishing up the sample of the Ron Izalco, can you talk about that?
The blend for that?
Yeah.
Where it's from? So all of our rums are going to come from Central America. I believe you guys are doing the 10-year-old. Is it the cask strength, or is it the 10-year 86 proof?
Yep, just the 10-year.
Yeah.
86.
So unfortunately, we can't say, we can't name the distilleries it's coming from, but we can tell you the countries and you can go look it up from there. So the 10-year-old is going to be a blend of Nicaragua, Guatemala, and Panama rum. And, with our age statements, something that's not always common in the rum world, but something that we're pretty proud about doing, when you see that age on there, that means that it's going to be a minimum of that age. So that Izalco 10 is going to be a minimum of 10 years, each of the components. Some are 11, some can be 12, but everything's going to be at least 10 years. And that one, usually you see rums around 80 proof. We have that one at 86, so a little bit higher, think it tastes really, really phenomenal at that point. And also, I know a lot of you guys drink it straight, but if you ever, get into the cocktail world, that makes a phenomenal old fashioned with that rum.
Yeah.
Absolutely amazing.
I was looking up some stuff this morning about your brand, and I came across a couple sites that mentioned that this makes a great old fashioned, which I wouldn't really, you know, I wouldn't really think that because it's already super sweet, and adding a sugar or something to it. But I'm definitely gonna have to.
You
try
don't
it
need. I saw it. Yeah, you don't even eat it.
Yeah, yeah. So
we can do it without.
Yeah, little like orange zest and bitters in there. I think that would actually be pretty good. So I'm definitely gonna have to try that. The name Ron Evalco, I've read. You know, I have the bottle, kind of on the bottle and stuff. But for those out there, can you explain the origin of naming the brand Ron Evalco?
Yeah. So, you know, everything, you know, that we have for our branding goes back to Central America, coming, you know, from where the sugar cane is coming from, which is, you know, that volcanic ash. And Evalco is volcano that's down there in Central America. And it's actually known as the lighthouse of the Pacific. So we wanted to give, you know, a little homage back to the brand. Actually, kind of funny, we had a bunch of empty barrels for sale up at our warehouse, and there was a local Mexican restaurant owner that came by, wanted some for some displays in her restaurant, and she came by and she saw the bottle sitting there. She's like, "Oh, it's Alpha." She's like, "Do you know that that's a volcano that's down in Central America?" I'm like, "Yeah, that's actually what the brand is named after," and she just went crazy for it. So it's, you know, people have a lot of respect for that. We love it.
That's cool. On top. To piggyback off of that question, can you kind of give us the origins of Rye 3 name and brand? Because, you know, I hear RY3, I hear Rye, and was it a mistake? You know, that kind of thing. So can you talk a little bit about how you guys landed on that as a brand?
So Rye 3, you know, came, obviously we're a rye whiskey. You know, you can't call a blend or your brand rye. So we tried to get a little tricky with it and, you know, the backwards 3 to make it look like rye. That was a very challenge to get approved and go through, but we were fortunate enough to be able to get it to work. But yeah, so Rye 3, it's the 3 is for 3 distillate, 3 different mash bills, 3 different age statements, which are now sometimes they're creeping to 2, but sometimes it's 3 different age statements. So where it's a play on the 3. So that's where we got the Rye 3 from.
That's cool.
Yeah, so yes, that is the correct. Rye 3 is the correct pronunciation.
It's a great brand. It jumps off the shelf at you. The Ron Evalco bottles, I love the shape of the bottle. They're super unique. I mean, it's got great marketing. I mean, I'm rocking your merch right now.
I see that.
But you know, it's just great branding overall. And I think that's, you know, you guys have excelled in that. And I think that's how. I mean, you can talk about this, but I think that's like the main focus is branding for you guys in marketing, right?
Yeah. So, I mean, first off, we got a phenomenal designer that sits out in Bordeaux, France. He does all of our labels, all of our, you know, everything that you're seeing that goes out into the market with our branding and everything he designs for us. And then we got a phenomenal team for our social media and all of our marketing materials as well. So yeah, we Kartik's amazing with that type of stuff and really pushes and goes after those type of things.
All right, well, let's get to this whiskey because I've been staring at it too damn long. It smells so good. I can barely contain myself. Yeah, it's the Madeira.
Tell us. I know. I'm looking around trying to find myself a glass in my hotel room, and I don't see anything.
Hey, you got the bottle.
Right out of the bottle.
You got the bottle, man. Just pull it from the bottle.
Do a bottle chug.
So, the bottle Adam was talking about is there. It's a Madeira cask finish, cask strength. This one was picked by the Spirit Animal Society and Liquor Junction. Yeah. Coming in at 61.2% alcohol. This thing is amazing. Yeah. Before I say my notes, I kind of want to hear what the other guys say about it. Because I probably sat down after I talked to Kartik and tried to get you guys on. And you guys were thankfully come on or said you guys come on. I was like, all right, I got to sit down and actually get a nice little review. And I sat down for like 3 days, and every time I sipped this, I got something different, and it's amazing. Yeah. So kind of curious what the other guys say. Think about it.
Paul, top left. Go for it, buddy.
I mean, I started out, I got into the sample a little earlier so I could get kind of my notes too, because I have not had this whiskey before, and especially not even this pick. But I mean, on the nose, it just jumps out. I mean, there's just a fruitiness. It's almost like an orange fruitiness. There's like an orange zest, but there's like a red grape or blackberry. And then on the palate, I mean, it just, like Jerry said, it's ever evolving. It's super complex. I went through like three little sips off of it earlier just to get some notes down. And like you said, every time it changed, it's that orange carries through. You get like a nuttiness to it. There's definitely that red fruit on the back end. Super great mouthfeel, long finish. I mean, this is just fantastic.
Yeah, that's the one thing that I love about rye whiskey with how it pairs with finishes. You know, you get the complexity of that rye, and it really lends itself, you know, to balance out with some of these sweeter finishes of the cask. You said the flavors just layer on top of each other. And yeah, every time you go into it, you're going to find something different.
Yeah, and just now that you're saying that, all of my notes, none of them have anything to do with rye. But the rye is there. It's just there is so much else popping that it comes through the forefront. It's like I said, super complex. Very, very good.
Yeah, so I do pick up the rye on the nose, like a rye bread, but a rye bread smothered in honey. I get that citrus, like the rye bread that's been smothered in honey was spritzed with an orange is specifically what I was talking about. I don't get the grape so much. I almost get a little bit of a blackberry, but when I sip it, everything but the blackberry hits me, and then I get tea, just a ton of sweet tea, punches me right in the mouth. That was the first sip. I went back, and all I'm getting is the fruit. I'm getting no tea and getting fruit, and then the third time, I'm really picking up that bread, but that tea is back. The honey is very, very present. This is gross, but I'm going to say it anyway. I just burped and I got orange. I got orange peel on that burp. So, hey, it's coming back to revisit me. I mean, that's awesome.
There you go.
And it drinks every bit of its proof, but it's not, I like high proof stuff. So to me, it's perfect. It's not unbearable. And that Madeira with that rye, like you said, that finish is just, this is a hell of a bottle. That's all there is to it.
Can you talk about where, like, how you do the finishes? I mean, you talked about your blend, but then how long is it aged in the barrels? Where are you keeping those barrels? That kind of thing.
Yeah. So first off, I mean, the first thing you have to do is you have to have quality barrels. And we're super fortunate. We got a great relationship with our barrel importer. And they're actually located, they used to be 2 miles down the street from our warehouse. Now they're a little bit further. They're in Chesapeake, but you know, not far at all. So I actually, you know, a lot of times when people are working with barrels, they just kind of get shipped to them what's available. I actually go and I get to pick out which barrels I want from the facility. So I'm going through and hand selecting all the barrels that we're going to use. So making sure I'm opening them up, getting my nose in there, making sure they don't have any off flavors. So for us, that's kind of like one of the best things, you know, that we can do to get ourselves a good start with this. Also making sure that, you know, the barrels aren't dried out, you know, that they're still wet and they're going to have some good flavors that come along with it. But yeah, as far as finish goes, so once again, you know, the blend that we've created really pairs well with different finishes. So we don't tweak that formulation at all. But yeah, we put them in the barrels and, you know, it really depends how long it's going to sit on there. First, by the time of the year, you know, when it's hot, you know, within the warehouse, it's in a non-climate controlled warehouse. So we're getting full heat during the summertime. And, you know, these Virginia Beach summers get pretty brutal, high humidity, you know, it can be upwards of 115, you know, plus degrees inside the warehouse. And then, you know, during the summertime, we had a pretty mild winter this past year, didn't dip too much below 40, but we are getting a good contrast between the seasons. But yeah, but it's really just, it's all done to taste. So usually it's going to sit in there for at least 2 to 3 months, you know, at least 3 months during the wintertime, sometimes longer, kind of in that, you know, 12, 14, sometimes 16 weeks. It really all depends. But as I said, we go back, revisit them, keep tasting through them. And when they're ready to go, you know, we'll start pulling samples and start sending to people to do barrel pick. Or, you know, we also have started just pulling them for ourselves and bottling them, and we're sending them out to the different states just as its own item out on the shelf. You know, a lot of the stores don't have the pull through and power to do a full barrel pick. So this way we're able to get stuff out to anybody who wants it. So it'll be on the shelf for everybody to try.
Yeah. So back to this Madeira, for me, it's on the nose. It's straight springtime. You got the florals, you got the citrus, you got some honey, some fruitiness. I get a little bit of like of that honey lemon tea sort of in there. And then it's just straight, just a fruit bomb, grape, getting like grape jelly notes at one point. There's some peach in there, that some of the lemon, some oranges. And then there's like a nice tartness from the Madeira. It's like a blackberry, blueberry type tartness in there. But yeah, every time you go back, it's something different. I think there might be some of this left from the store, from Liquor Junction, I think. And I might have to make some calls and get a second bottle, because this one doesn't have much longer left.
Maybe a third and a fourth.
I'm just going to say that.
I'll take one if you can get it. I did look and see they have a rum cask finish up here at Total Wine for like $65. So
nice.
It's about to be $65 lighter.
The standard one or the cast strength?
This is, let me look. I had to see.
Could be the cast strength.
For that price, it should be, but
I would imagine. I'm looking, it's 100 proof.
Oh, no, that's our standard 100 proof. Yeah, that's not the cast strength.
Yeah, that's
still a phenomenal one right there.
I mean, I can't imagine it's terrible, because I've had other bottles that Rye 3 has produced, and none of them have been terrible. So I wouldn't imagine that one finished in a rum cask is going to be terrible.
I'll take that
on board.
Yeah. No, it's
That's the original formula. You know, that was the original Rye 3 product too, that 100 proof cast strength.
Now they do have a private reserve for $99, and that's all it says is Rye 3 whiskey private reserve. So you might be able to tell me that's 120 proof. You might be able to tell me a little bit about what that might be. It's probably just a Total Wine pick, if I had to guess.
Yeah, it could have been. So we've done cognac finish with them. We've done toasted Madeira, rum cask. You know, we've done, so it could be any one of those.
Yeah, no, I love the rum finish on a rye. Yeah. I was never a fan of rum finished bourbons. It always just didn't seem to work for me. And you guys, when I had your guys' rum finish rye, it clicks. It works better in my mind to rum finish a rye than it does to rum finish a bourbon. Yeah. So no, I love that rum finish rye.
I think and whatnot works well with that sweetness of the rum, which for me with the bourbon, it kind of, a lot of the bourbon's sweeter, and it doesn't really contrast the sweetness of the rum barrels, at least the ones I've had. But I'm with you. The Rye 3, the original formula one, and a few others I've done a rum cast rye are 10 times better than bourbon finished rums or rum finished bourbons.
Yeah, you know, that rye, it really balances out with that sweetness from the rum cast, as you're saying. That the cast finishes kind of tones down those harsh edges of the rye whiskey itself, kind of softens it up. And the other thing that we do is on that 100 proof, we use, you know, French technique of slow water reduction. So taking that proof down, you know, it's coming out of the cask around 120 to 124. And we're going to take all of, you know, about 2 months, you know, eight plus weeks to take it from that 122, 124 all the way down to 100. So just really taking our time, adding it slowly. And it really, you know, shows, I think, in the final product. And for me, that 100 proof with an ice cube in the summertime, like in the heat of the day, nothing's better for me than that.
Yeah, I don't think I've ever heard of anybody lowering the proof over time like that. Is that something that's an industry wide thing and I just never really heard about it? Or is that something that you guys kind of came up with?
No, so it's more of a French technique that's used. There are some distilleries that do it. You know, some people that have been mentored by the same people tend to do that, but it's definitely not common. It takes a lot of time. You know, especially when you start having those fights with your salespeople who want product, they want it out right away, get it out on the shelf. And you're having to tell them that, you know, we got to add water slowly for a couple months. Fortunately, you know, Kartik's got, you know, knows the process, understands it, and that there's a reason behind it. And it makes sense. And it's, at the end of the day, it makes it worth it. So
while we're on the topic of cast finishes, is there any new ones coming out in the future that you could talk about?
So each year, kind of what we're focusing on is doing a seasonal release. So we kind of have our core portfolio that you can see out there, being the rum cask, the Madeira, and the toasted. So you should be able to see that, you know, out on the shelves together. But each year we're going to introduce a new seasonal finish. This year was the Naranja. So that actually got a model right here. So we'll be doing some batches, single releases of these for barrel picks. That's for this year. And then we'll pick something different for next year. And then, of course, we have our cigar series. The first two batches of it have been done. And they're Madeira, rum cask, and Naranja finish. Gets all blended together, goes into a tank. And then we add French oak staves to that tank where it's going to age for another 2 months. And then we'll filter that and go ahead and bottle it. So that's what this year's release, I'm sorry, the first two batches are going to be. I'm currently working on another batch of it right now. It's about halfway done. Won't let the cat out of the bag exactly what it is right now, but that should be coming in July timeframe. So we're going to keep things, you know, changing, keep everybody guessing on what the next cigar series is going to be. But you always see some new innovation from us on it.
Now, obviously, I know what Naranja is, but could you kind of fill in the plebs who don't know what Naranja is? I have no idea what that actually is. I'm full of shit. But can you just tell us what that actually? Because I would like to know myself.
So it's like a PX sherry grape, and it gets macerated orange peel gets added to the wine, and is aged in there. So when we're getting those casks, it's going to come with these phenomenal orange notes to it.
That's interesting. That's a process that I've never. Is it so?
It's your VDN finishes.
Is it? Yeah. Is it? So it's. I mean, it's a type of. I guess Naranja. It essentially it's a type of wine.
Yeah. So it's usually it's a PX sherry wine that they're just adding those macerated orange peels to, and so that's going to get aged in the wine in that wine cask. So it's going to impart those orange notes within it.
Interesting.
Yeah, that sounds awesome. I was picking up orange notes on this Madeira. So to even amplify that farther, that's a bottle I'm going to seek out.
Yeah. And tell me, I had a question when you guys go through the Madeira. So one thing that I tend to pick up, now I don't remember that exact one, but some of the notes that I kind of pick up from the Madeira tend to be some figs, currants, and also I get a little bit of like sweet tobacco leaf as well.
I wrote down raisin on the finish for me. Yep. So that kind of goes with that fig, but
yep.
Yeah, no, this is fantastic. Jerry.
I get tobacco, but
right.
The cigar kind of imparts that too.
But yeah, just Jerry, if you find some bottles that are still available from this pick, then you let us know.
Yeah. No, but the other day when I was sipping it, I was getting some like leather type notes, which for me, leather and tobacco kind of go together. So yeah, I was getting it, but yeah, I'll make some phone calls, see what I can do.
Jerry knows some people. He'll call some people. He'll call his people.
Call my people.
Call our people.
And you can always go on our website as well at rye3whiskey.com or ronazalcorum.com and order off our website. So yeah, we always keep the Madeiras up there, the rum cask, toasted barrels. And I think there's actually still a little bit of the cigar series. This guy left up there as well.
So you do sell straight off your website?
We do. So yeah, it's going to come from a store in DC.
Perfect.
So they're able to ship all over.
Awesome. And where are you?
Kentucky, because Kentucky is notoriously draconian when it comes to shipping into the state. It's ridiculous.
All I can say is I've found a lot of people getting it. all over the place.
Okay, fair enough.
So I would say give it a shot.
That's better than no.
Yep.
Other than that, how many states are you in as far as just normal distribution?
So we are in, I think it's 19 or 20 states right now in the U.S. and we're in 10 or 11 different countries right now.
Very cool.
Yeah, it was actually, I did a barrel pick, a private barrel pick with South Korea a couple weeks ago, which was pretty awesome. That was a lot of fun. Sent them some samples and we did it live over Zoom. Okay. So that was a lot of fun. So yeah, so we'll be having a barrel going to South Korea here in the next couple months.
That's cool.
Very cool.
see them.
I do know you guys are whiskey just getting into Florida. I know. I don't know if you're there, but Kartik, I believe, is down South Florida right now.
Yep. Whole team is. Yeah. We're doing some, we're having our quarterly business meeting with the team, and then we're going to go hit the market with our, with Greenlight distributors and go around to.
So if you make it up to North Florida, kind of know a guy.
I got you.
If you ever make it up to Jacksonville area.
I know. I think Tim should be on here in a little bit. He's going to be up in Orlando, I believe, towards the end of the week. I don't know if they're heading up to Jacksonville though, but we'll definitely be getting the product around.
Is there any thoughts about bringing anything other than like a rye whiskey and a rum to market, or is that just how you're going to stick with it?
Man, the conversations are had every other week. I think that's something that one of our strengths is spinning up new products and getting to market with a good quality product in a pretty short amount of time. But you know, right now I think we got our hands full of the rum and the rye, and we're just going to keep kind of driving on those. And if something else comes up in the future that makes sense to do, yeah, we'll take a good hard look at it and see if we want to execute it. Yeah. We're never going to say no.
Don't fix it.
Yeah.
Yep. Everything I've had has been fantastic. I actually had a buddy send me a sample of a 14-year-old light whiskey from the Bourbon Thieves that I'll be getting into later. I haven't opened that one yet. That was probably come after the next four. But yeah, everything I've had from the 100 proof to these two, and then I don't know, all the random samples I've had over the last year or so from people traveling and stuff, they've all been fantastic. And then now there's rum. It's the first time I've tried it. And rum is my first love. So.
Oh, yeah.
Definitely going to be searching those out, because that Ron is Alco, like Paul said, is a cotton candy bomb.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
So have you gotten to the other Alco rums that we have as well?
No, that's the first one I've tried.
Okay. So you have the 10-year. We've got the 10-year cask strength. So that's usually kind of around 120, 121 proof. We do the 18, and then we also have a 15-year cap strength as well.
Yeah, definitely looking at it. It was
yeah, and that 15 in particular, I like to say that Rye 3 was created on smoking cigars and drinking as Alco 15. That was, you know, the latest release that we had out when I was starting to blend with the Rye 3. So that was my, you know, late nights working in the lab, needed a break. It was having a cigar and drinking somebody's Alco 15.
I will say that 15-year age range is prime for rums, at least in my
opinion. Yeah.
I've had it 14, 15, 16. That's perfect, especially in most of the time used barrels, and it's gets just enough of that barrel influence, but still keeps that nice rum characteristic in it. So yeah, I'll have to keep my eye out for that one.
Yeah. So that's, you know, all of our rums are going to be bourbon barrel aged. So it's, you know, a lot of those characteristics of the bourbon are going to come through in the rums, which makes it super approachable and really a great transition from, you know, the bourbon drinker that's ready for something new. Yeah, we like to say that you get your master's education when you go into the rye world and start tasting those. But that rum segue, our rums is a great segue from the bourbon drinker as well.
Yeah, this is definitely, you know, could be a easy like gateway rum for people who aren't familiar, because some of the off-putting, I say off-putting, but I like them a lot, but like the funky notes that some rums have that kind of turn people away. This doesn't really have this is just super sweet, super easy drinking. I mean, just fantastic sipper, kind of dangerous actually, because it just goes down like you're just, you know, it's excellent. So definitely check this rum out if you guys haven't heard of the brand, because I mean, this is a fantastic rum.
It's just like with scotches, people think, oh, all scotches are peated or smoky. A lot of people think all rums are like that Jamaican hot, still funky, real funky rums, and it's really not. Just like with scotch, there's only a small portion of them are that's peated and smoky. Same thing with the rum. There's only a small portion comparatively is that funkiness, and I'm with Paul, funkier the better, to an extent. I've had some that was just, yeah, too much, but to an extent, funkier the better.
Yeah, that's the one thing I find, like, especially when doing tastings, so many people, you go, here, come try this phenomenal rum we got. And a lot of times people are like, oh, I'm not a rum person, and they don't want to try it. And I'm like, give it a shot. Unfortunately, they had a bad college experience with Bacardi or drank too much Captain. And that's what they associate with rum. And, couldn't be farther from the truth with this. A lot of people haven't really tried good sipping rums. No.
What about distilling? Have you guys, I'm sure you probably talked about it, like you said, with other spirits like weekly, but is there anything in the works for actually opening your own distillery?
Not as of today, but you're right. That is a conversation that we've gone back and forth with. I love distilling, done quite a bit of it. But as of for like right now, we've got so much good product to work with, great things to blend with. So we're going to keep going that route. I think there's a play for down the road to create our own kind of custom mash bill to start working with and do that. But as of today, right now, we're just focusing on the blending. I've got my hands full enough with that right now.
Yeah. No, I mean, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. Right.
Obviously, yes. Paul and I don't have the sample that Jerry has, because Jerry has a sample, but Jerry did send a sample to Paul and I with a different rye three light whiskey. And I've been smelling this bad boy for probably 15 minutes now. So Jerry, tell us about the bottle and then let's get to nosing and tasting.
So this is a 14 year light whiskey. Like Matt said, 99.1. Cask strength single barrel, coming in at 60.2 proof, picked by the Major League Bourbon Clubhouse, going with the baseball theme. It's Nobody Messes with Ryan with the RY3N. As you can tell, that one's not much longer either. I've been kind of hiding that one for a while because this is a straight butterscotch bomb.
I actually have a big portrait of that sticker up on our wall in the office.
Yeah,
it's a great sticker.
A great hater sticker. It's awesome.
Yeah.
And I'm not a Rangers fan or can't say you're not a Ryan fan, because he's one of the all-time greats. But
yeah, he's the Chuck Norris of baseball.
It's for those that can't see it, obviously no one here except for the four of us. And then if you have the bottle, it's after his fight, it's the bloody jersey, bloody lip, and all that stuff. Great time. If you haven't seen it, just search Ryan fight and you'll find it.
Arguably the GOAT of pitchers, at least, So that's definitely a great sticker. And until you said butterscotch, I wasn't getting butterscotch. I was getting maple. It was like getting punched in the nose with a bottle of Aunt Jemima's. It was, I mean, God, holy crap. Paul, what about you? What are you getting?
Yeah, it's like the caramel, butterscotch, honey sweetness on the nose. And for being 120.4, there's no ethanol on the nose. Like, I mean, if just nosing, I would say this is 80 proof. So, I mean, that's fantastic in itself. But I didn't sample this earlier because it was a smaller sample. And so just took one sip. And I mean, there's so much going on. It's that caramel sweetness carries through, but it's like maybe a peach. Like, there's definitely a fruitiness in there that's not something that I can put my finger on off the first sip, but
I think it's peach.
Yeah, which is kind of different to find in whiskeys, which is pretty awesome. I like finding, weird flavors that are not common, not cinnamon, caramel, that kind of common ones. So, yeah, peach was the first thing that jumped out at me, but that was just off one sip. So, what are you guys getting?
I'm getting like, go ahead, Jerry. Yeah.
I was going to say, one quick question. After someone picks up like a barrel like this, how quickly does it get bottled typically, or at least done?
So it depends. So we do have, when somebody picks a barrel, we've got small tanks that we can put it into right away. I had a group in, two weekends ago. They came in on a Saturday morning, went through, picked a barrel. We put it in a tank, had some lunch, bottled it, and they picked it up from the local distributor on Tuesday.
The only reason I ask is because when they picked it, it came in at 119.8 proof, got the sticker. On the sticker, it says 119.8, but then when it got dumped and then reproofed or checked the proof, it came out to 120.4, so it kind of jumped up a couple proof points there.
You also got, so when we're taking samples, you know, we're just drilling a hole in the side and getting a small, you know, sample size of it. So we're sampling, you know, that what's in that little sample bottle. When it actually goes, gets put into the tank, rests, you know, that proof is going to fluctuate a little bit.